Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently. Today's episode is in partnership with Lawbroker, legal's first customer experience platform powered by lawyers. Lawbroker is a recommendation and matching platform that helps drive new business to solo and small practices throughout Canada. With its mission to simplify the accessibility of legal services, Lawbroker has built a platform that mimics everyday consumer applications, bringing familiarity and convenience to the legal industry. As a lawyer, you make the first move, opening up an entirely new revenue stream for your practice, all while putting you in control of your own demand.
Today, we are joined by Laura Comfort, known to some as the most interesting woman in the world. Laura earned 4 degrees from the University of Calgary. Prior to becoming a lawyer, Laura completed her Bachelor's of Science and Master's of Science in Kinesiology, focusing primarily on neuromotor control of human movement. Laura then completed her Bachelor of Nursing and went on to be a nurse with Alberta Health Services in the areas of general medicine and community and mental health. She currently practices law in Calgary and primarily focuses on serious personal injury and medical negligence claims. Outside of her academic and professional achievements, Laura has represented Canada internationally on the Canadian National Wrestling Team and has performed locally in community musical theater projects. So we are so excited to hear more about your interesting career and life and the most interesting person in the world. So thank you for joining us here today.
I didn't give myself that title. That was given to me during law school, just because every time I open my mouth, I talked about something else that I had done, and everyone said, oh, now you do that too. Cool.
I love that.
You did musical theater. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. So, Laura, I think like everyone listening would love to hear maybe a little bit more about what you told your peers in law school and kind of how your career has evolved over time, because I know it has taken many iterations and it's probably not done evolving yet, but we'd love to hear sort of what you've done up until this point and kind of how that all happened.
Yeah. So I used to tell, you know, I was on the older side when I got into law school, not, you know, I was a little bit above average or average age. So a lot of my peers were younger. And so when people asked or had to introduce themselves, I'd go through this long spiel about what I'd done before. It was not a straight journey, but I always say to people, it was the journey I had to take to get there, just because if I had tried to start law school, I am certain in my early 20s, I would either not have made it or I would have suffered through it. And I think I was better for having gone through and done all the other things that I had done, because every piece, every bit along the way, I picked up more confidence, more knowledge, and just more wisdom. And so I just felt a lot more centered when I got to law school. So I started thinking I was going to be, you know, a doctor or something in the healthcare field, mostly because that's just what I knew in my brain since I was young that I thought I wanted to do. So I took that path without really thinking deeply about it. I just always was convinced that's what I was going to do. So I started down that path. And it just took me a while to realize that wasn't quite the path for me. I started in science. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. So I just tacked on a master's to that. And then my mom was a nurse. And so that seemed like a logical, you know, medical route to go. And there was an accelerated program offered through the University of Calgary. So I did that. But through that process, I just felt a little stuck. I felt like I didn't understand the world. I didn't really understand my place in it. And through talking to my husband, who had already gone through law school, I realized that the law had a lot to offer in terms of understanding the world and how it works. And I became very interested in that. And so we had a long talk about doing a 4th degree and I had a child in between. And so after much discussion, I decided to embark on that path. And so far it's turned out to be what I think is the right one, hopefully.
Oh, Laura, that's so interesting. And we have so much that we want to ask branching off of that. But something that just like came to my mind as you were telling this story is you talked about feeling like
stuck and like you hadn't really found your place when you were going through your science route and you were beginning your work as a nurse and going through your work as a nurse. And I think it's wonderful that you have now like sort of found your place and where you can are really like settled and happy and more grounded. At least that's what I'm gleaning from what you've said so far. But what would you say to someone who is experiencing what you experienced when you were a nurse, but is experiencing that now as a lawyer, someone who might be listening to this, who's in law and is maybe feeling the way that you felt when you were in nursing?
That's a really good question, because I did want to point out that it has nothing to, my struggle had nothing to do with the fact that like nursing doesn't provide you with the opportunities to find yourself or critically think. It was me in nursing and me in the place I was in the world. And so I think that that can happen to anyone in any profession. It's not a slight on nursing in any way, shape or form. I just hadn't found my way to understanding what I needed to understand and how to feel comfortable. So I can fully appreciate that someone could feel the exact same way in law. And often too, when people go into it very young, I think that you can feel that. I've seen and heard people talk about feeling really stuck in law. So I guess what I would say is don't be afraid to explore other opportunities. It's never too late. Don't be afraid to explore opportunities that leverage your legal skills and understanding, but aren't necessarily law or big law, because that's not the be all end all. And I truly believe that I learned a huge amount of skills and knowledge in law school that can be applied across the spectrum, be it politically, you know, be it high up in a company, or, you know, that kind of strategic thinking and planning. All of those skills go along with the law. So I just would encourage you to explore what it is that you feel that you're missing or that is missing from law, and see whether you can get it from within law. And if you can't, be bold and brave to look outside the law to see where you might be able to find it.
That is excellent advice. So thank you so much for sharing, because I think, yeah, no matter what profession you are in, you can kind of get to a place where it's hard to understand what the next step is. And I think, like you said, it's hard too when you're looking, you know, you'd already done 3 degrees, and I'm sure that was a tough choice to say, okay, let's go back to school again. But sometimes, you know, taking that leap and following what you want to do can really pay off. And I think that your experience has really helped you in your practice. And we'd love to hear a bit more about how your experience as a registered nurse has assisted you through your personal injury practice.
I think it's been a huge asset in a couple of ways. So there's just the basic underlying knowledge of clinical and medical language, because most of what we do is, you know, have to assess a claim for its value, to review injuries and what's happened to someone, especially in medical malpractice. We have to determine, you know, whether the standard of care was met and things like that. And so my underlying knowledge of the medical field as a starting point just makes everything that much easier. I don't have to go look things up, you know, maybe every so often, but often I know what abbreviation I'm looking at. I have a basic understanding of even the method of assessing someone. So I have that starting point. But on a bigger, from a bigger perspective, I think my nursing, a lot of what nurses do are, you know, triage, organize, and kind of multidisciplinary work. And so I think that that has, you know, really helped me on just an overall level of how to manage a practice. Our practice is very busy. It's volume based. So we, you know, we have a lot of clients. We have a lot of kind of tasks and things that we need to keep moving. We are the plaintiffs, so we have the obligation to move the claim along. And so being organized and prepared to run a file is essential. It's an essential skill in our line of work. And so nursing helped me in that way, but then also in the actual content of what I do. So I think that those are the two main ways that it's assisted me through this practice.
I would also say, does it help that you knew how to read doctor's handwriting? Because in my limited work with workplace injuries, it is so hard to decipher sometimes. And I mean, I am no one to shade this because I have terrible handwriting that no one else can read. But I just feel like that would be a unique set of skills that would really come in handy when dealing with these sorts of issues, being able to decipher doctor's handwriting.
Absolutely. I have my colleagues come into my office sometimes. I'm kind of the last stop when they're like, I have read this or tried to read this 1,000 times. Do you know what they're talking about? And almost without fail, I can figure it out. There was one the other day that got me and I was so mad because I like that I can usually decipher it. But it definitely helps with that. And there was one other thing that I thought about that is helpful. So a large part of what we do is we take cold calls to determine whether it's, you know, the claim is something that we can help with and assist with, and a large volume of those. And a lot of people are experiencing, you know, no one is calling on their best day. And especially in personal injury, they're calling because something has happened to them that they believe is the fault of another person. And often it kind of comes along with some mental health issues, not always, but often. And so my work as a mental health nurse and, you know, talking with patients and people of all kinds from all backgrounds, experiencing all levels of, you know, crisis, I think has really assisted me to be able to handle the large volume of calls we get and the different ways that people can come to us and in kind of they're in different levels of calm or not calm. And so sometimes that requires some tactful and thoughtful ways of dealing with people, because I never want someone to leave a call feeling like they haven't been listened to. But at the same time, my time is valuable. And I do have clients that I, you know, am actually representing. So there's that kind of fine balance of respecting individuals as human beings, making sure they feel heard, but then also, you know, moving on if it's not something that we can assist with and trying to get them to where they need to be. So I think that's definitely a skill that's a shock to a lot of people, I think, when they first start. And so luckily I'd had that experience before.
No, that's so astute. And so how do you think you'd recommend that lawyers start to set those types of boundaries and create balance in their careers as they're just starting out or dealing with difficult situations?
It's been tough. And I can't say that, you know, even though I did just say that I, you know, think I came with a certain set of skills, I also have a big heart. And so I had to kind of trim back ever so slowly how long I would be with people, you know, and you know, for their interest and mine to get to the point and making sure that, you know, we get to what we're needing to talk about on that call and really focusing it in. And so that is a skill. So you can't just expect to have it. It's honed, it's practiced. And so sometimes it's just that takes time. And so that's kind of how that's how I've learned to kind of handle difficult situations. That's cold calls, but then also client calls. People, you know, there's a lot of expectations. There's sometimes misunderstandings. There's clients where you're just not, for whatever reason, there's been communication issues. And so again, that's a learning process of how to kind of manage yourself, manage your clients. A large part of what I learned to do is a huge part is managing expectations right out the gate. So right from the initial intake, you know, and ever my intake has changed as I have problems later on. if something comes up, I'm like, okay, I gotta remember to talk about that first thing. And again and again, because you think you talk about it once, they often don't, you know, remember. It's a lot of information that you're giving to people at the beginning. And so it's kind of a constant reminder, client expectation management. And that helps long-term make sure that you manage your practice because you're not dealing with fires all the time. If you can kind of get out in front of things, and really often when clients get upset, it's because there's a mismatch between expectation and reality and what's happened. And so if you can get out in front of that and ensure that you manage client expectations, that is super helpful. So that's how I manage that. I think you also asked just about bigger picture, how I manage boundaries and things like that. But should I move on to that too?
Yeah, feel free. Like, Laura, I feel like I'm sitting here and I'm soaking it all up. You are giving so much wonderful, tangible advice. And I know that it's based on all of your diverse experiences. And I think that that experience, like you said earlier, like really grounds you in this knowledge. And I think it's just so valuable for anyone listening.
Yeah. And so I guess the second part of your question was, how do I manage, you know, the busy practice of law, boundaries, and, you know, work with a busy practice of family and all of the other things? That, again, skill, time, you can't expect to know it right out the gate, but there are things I think you can do from the get-go that put you in a better position to be able to handle it from the start. So I think a lot of self-reflection about what you want your life to look like, always iterative, like, is this still the way that I want my life to look? Is this working out? So it's a constant check, recheck. Are we still on track with what I want my life to look like? And I think that's key, a lot of self-reflection, and then thinking about what is meeting my needs and what is not, and is it acceptable to me? Like, is that enough? Because no job is going to be perfect. There, especially, like, sometimes, you know, a huge portion of your job you don't really like, but are you getting enough out of it to make the stuff that's difficult be, you know, tolerable, right? And so that is unique to everyone. I couldn't tell, you know, some people, big laws for them. They love that, you know, work hard, you know, all day long, high pressure, high stress, and other people that is not for them. And so I guess a starting point, don't think that you have to be a cookie cutter or a certain way, then reflect on what you want your life to look like, and then start trying to tailor what your life looks like and where you are in terms of a law job to make that happen. And know also the grass is, you know, it's not always greener, right? So you do have to challenge yourself to stay in a situation to see whether, you know, it is something that you can get through and whether something that you can kind of manage within, or whether you need to move on. And there's no easy way to know that. Only you'll know, and you won't really know until you make the leap, right? Or don't. But just a lot of self-reflection, and boundary setting from the get-go. My husband told me once when I was getting into law that he said, no one is going to, you know, do it for you in terms of checking in and making sure you're taking care of yourself, or often they're not. Maybe a special person might, but often you need to set boundaries. It's hard because you'll see everyone else scrambling about, you know, working all the hours. And so you have to be confident in yourself to say, this is what I'm willing to do and this is what I'm not willing to do. And then let however that plays out, you know, allow that to happen. Or in some cases you have to leave if it's not kind of checking all the boxes that you need to be checked. So it's not easy, but I think there are better ways and harder ways to go through it.
Yeah, I will say that is a great point to keep checking and rechecking what current you would like to do. Because if I was living 18-year-old me's life, oof, it'd be very different than the life I'm living right now. And so much respect for 18-year-old me. You had great dreams, but we are way too tired for those. And yeah, we found other dreams. So that is a great point to, you know, check in with. How are you feeling now? What are you doing now? Because as you go through life, you change and you learn new things. And so I really like that check and recheck. I'm going to like steal that phrase. I really like that. That was good.
Check in, always checking in. How are we doing?
How are you
and
doing?
Like, you know, do you want to start a family? Does that change things? Or can you keep on the same path? Like, it's just a constant, and you have a partner, checking with them. Like, is this meeting your needs? Right. So it's an iterative process that's never over, and it's never, you know, it's not just because it worked in the start doesn't mean it works now. And so I think that's important.
Yeah. And another thing you mentioned earlier is that, you know, people don't call on their best days. They call when things are really rough, and you deal with a lot of cases that are hard, and people have gone through physical or mental trauma. And as a nurse, I'm sure you saw that as well. How do you set boundaries in that regard with dealing with a lot of really traumatic events and clients that have been through really, really tough times? How do you sort of separate that and take care of yourself while helping others?
That's a tough one. I think I almost don't know how to answer, because I feel like it's a skill that I built up through the years and through nursing to, you know, to some degree compartmentalize. To, you know, you have to continue to tell yourself that you can invest and care, but you can only go so far with that. Otherwise it will just eat you up. There's just too much. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of anguish. But at the same time, I think you do need to allow yourself to be a bit vulnerable to connect with the client in that way. So it's this really fine balance. And again, it's probably unique to everyone, what they feel works for them. And it's different sometimes with each client. So it's within clients, between clients, over time. It's not an easy thing, but to a certain degree, you do have to learn that while you care, they are a client and you're there to do a job for them. And some you can't do the best job if you fully take on all of your clients' kind of issues and pain and things like that, because you need to be an advocate, and you need to be able to communicate to the other side. And you can't take on, because like a lot of time there's a lot of anger involved, right? Because they've been hurt and there's suffering, and you know, no amount of money is ever going to put that person back in that position before it happened. And so they're always going to be a certain degree of anger and dissatisfaction for the most part. And so, and it doesn't always help to communicate that to the other side, right? That's not going to get them the best settlement. You have to use reason, you have to use legal judgment and all of those things. And so just kind of reminding yourself that you have a job to do. But then, you know, when you're communicating with the client, ensuring that they feel heard, ensuring that they understand the process. I think that goes a long way to helping someone through, and also to keeping you, the lawyer, kind of safe and healthy as well.
No, Laura, that's so important. And I think too, like just in general, whether in law or in another profession, different people excel at compartmentalizing than others. And it's just something that I think in some ways, like, again, neither Erin nor I are sciencey in nature. So there's no science to what I'm about to say, but I think it's something that a lot of people are like predispositioned to be able to either really compartmentalize or not. And it's definitely something that can be like worked on over time. But I think that's like a really valuable skill to have, especially in all of the different professions that you've been a part of, and now in the area of law that you've practiced. And so in the nature of compartmentalizing, we would be so curious to hear about like a setback that you faced in your career and sort of what you learned from it, because your career has been so like captivating to someone from the outside and has had so many like different successes. But obviously there were many turning points where you had to make decisions to change roles, to change totally different academic careers, professional careers. And so was there ever a moment in time where you faced what felt maybe like a setback at the time, but now you can look back on it and have a bit of a different perspective or something that you've really taken from it?
I don't know if you guys are probably looking, I was looking up and I'm sure you were seeing it. Like, that's a really hard question. I'm just trying to think. I have faced setbacks, but I do want to say that I have had a lot of privilege and you know, luck and a really good starting point. And, you know, and so I do feel very privileged that I have been able to do all of the things that I have done. But it hasn't been without bumps in the road. There was a time, I would say for sure, it was early on, quite early on in university. I went through a really deep, dark depression. I stopped wrestling. I was struggling at school in a way that I had never, ever experienced before. It was like a profound loss of self. Like I did not know at all who I was, what I was doing. That was by far the hardest time in my life. And it was quite early on, but it took a long, long time to work through, probably years. I would say age 22 to 25 or 6 before I started really feeling like almost like coming out of that. I gained back my confidence that I used to have. I came out of whatever fog there was there. And it was a long, hard road. And in that period, there was just a lot of learning and growth that I had to do. That was not easy. It was not pretty. there was a year I joke that I just ate mini wheats and like slept. but you know, a huge, you know, shout out to my husband. So we were together this whole time. You know, we were dating at the time, but you know, he really stuck by in some like deep, dark times and just, you know, basically said, you know, you just need to put one foot in front of the other or stand still, but I can't watch you go backwards. And like, that's all I needed to hear was that I don't have to be perfect, but I can't let myself be pulled back. I have to look forward and I have to keep moving. And so I remember that moment when he told me that, like, I remember where I was, what we were doing. It's like, it's so profound. And so I just took that but it was so slow. It was like micro steps, but I would say that it was early on in that those early university days. And I don't think that's unique to me. I think a lot of people go through struggles like that early, you know, in their 20s, where you're just like, who am I? And, you know, wrestling was such a huge part of who I was. And, you know, when I stopped it, that was my identity and I did not know who I was. And so it was that long path back. And that's also why, you know, you see all the degrees that I did. I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to do. And so I think that would be by far my biggest setback, and long and slow.
I can totally relate. Once I graduated from McGill, I didn't even know what my favorite color was anymore. I was like, who am I? I've been a student my entire life. I've been an athlete my entire life. What do I like to do? How do I spend my time? And where the heck do I go next? And I can totally relate. That was, unfortunately, not the only, but one of the deepest depressions that I had ever been in. And it was really hard to dig myself out of that. And similar to the advice that you had gotten of like, you know, don't go backwards. At a different time in my life, I'd gotten advice from a therapist to just hold on, like that you, like, say you're like in a, kind of how I visualized it was that I was in like a deep, dark hole and there were roots coming down from like plants above. And she was just like, hold on to the closest branch that you can. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was like an interesting, like sort of, you can stand still or you can go forward, but just don't fall back into the hole and don't go backwards. Just hold on as hard as you can, basically. And just, yeah, just do what you can. Just, it's fine if you stay where you are. It's fine if you move in micro steps, but just keep going. So I really liked that message. So thank you for sharing that with us.
No problem. I like that therapist analogy too. That's really neat. I'm going to steal that one.
Okay. We can swap. So on the flip side of that, what has been one of your favorite or proudest memories of your career?
The entire law journey. Like, I'm so happy and excited and proud that I took it. And like, I didn't just passively take it. Like, I actively really dove in. Like, my husband said, if you're going to do this, like, you do it. You know, you read everything, you engage in school, you know, like, and I feel like I took the bull by the horns and I got that last bit of confidence back. You know, the last bit that I just, that piece of the puzzle that I didn't feel I had, which was a basic understanding of how the world works, which is hilarious. I knew the scientific method very well. I had done a lot of school, and I'm unfortunately one of those people that, like, I don't know why, but I could not learn just by like gleaning it through the world. I had to be taught it. And so I needed to go to law school to fully understand the world, how the different pieces interact and work together. And so it was just like eye-opening. And I really felt empowered and confident after I left law school. Not like I knew everything, but that I knew I could manage anything that was thrown at me. I did it while having an infant. I worked super hard and I was like, there's nothing that you can't do if I just, you know, think it through and work hard. I had that belief in myself that I didn't have before. So I just think it's the overall experience, how hard I worked and just how much I really engaged in the process. And I wasn't just a passive passenger in this, which is kind of how I felt in life up until that point. Like, I just felt like life was happening to me as opposed to me like living. And so it did feel like the final piece of the puzzle. But I would say that I'm like always cautious, because when I feel too confident about where I'm at, I'm like, oh, check in, right? So I'm always like, you know, I feel confident, I feel good, but I'm always still checking in and rechecking about kind of where I'm at and always wanting to grow. So I'm not done. It's just that I feel that I just took that step really into living at that point.
Okay. Another great tidbit. When you just said, I feel like life is happening to me, I sometimes can feel that so deeply. So that's another one little nugget I'm going to steal from you, because sometimes I feel like I just get on this like treadmill or something, and it's like life is just, I know all these things are going to happen in the future, and then everything happens. And I'm like, was I there? Did I attend these things, or did life just happen to me? And so that's a great little tidbit to remember, and to always remember to check and recheck and just make sure that you are actually living your life and that life isn't just living it for you. So Thank you so much for sharing all of these tidbits that I love and sharing more about your career and how your life has evolved. But we like to end every episode with the same question, which is, what is something new that you've learned recently? And I'm sure it's going to be something very unique and different, that something that I don't even think about.
Something, and it's not just law related, just something.
Yeah, it could be anything.
That's a really tough question. What's on my mind, what I've learned lately. What I think is interesting about what I do is every time that you need to do a deposition or discovery, whatever term you use for that questioning here in Alberta, you kind of have to learn all about that specialty in order to question them, because you need to know what to ask, you know, where the important pieces are. And so recently I had to question a like sea train operator, like a light rail transit, you know, subway, you know, operator. And so I had to learn all about, they'd sent in their production kind of this graph of like what the train was doing over time. And I had to learn about, you know, how a sea train operator breaks, what signal lights they get, all these things. And it was like, it's funny to have to, like, you don't become an expert, but you have to become pretty close. You have to know what you're talking about. And then in medical malpractice, we're kind of always doing that too, right? So if you have to question a cardiologist or a labor and delivery nurse, you need to, you know, understand what it is to do a cardiology assessment on at least a basic level, so that you can go through the records and, you know, pick out spots where, you know, you need to question. Obviously, experts help. If you have an expert already retained, they can walk you through what to look for. And that helps in the medical malpractice realm, but we don't always have that luxury. I don't get to hire a C-train operator expert always. And so sometimes you have to do it on your own. And then outside the legal field, this is what's on my mind right now, just because I just am in between two. I just recently decided to do these fitness competitions, which is crazy. And so I just kind of recently learned how to, you know, diet and watch my macros and do posing, which was just bizarre. And so that's a totally, my colleagues are always saying, you're so extreme, you're always doing something to the max. But this is my newest endeavor, and I'm in between two of those right now. So it's right on my mind. Preparing for something like that was a huge endeavor on top of law and raising a family. And so that would be the other kind of outside of law thing that recently I've learned about is the fitness world. I knew it from wrestling, but this is a whole nother thing.
Laura, that's amazing. I saw on your Twitter recently that you were talking about competing. And so best of luck in your next show. That's very
thank you.
Exciting. And thank you for telling us all about your winding, like non-linear career today, because I know that there is so much that everyone listening can learn from it. So for everyone looking to get in contact with Laura or to follow along with her ever evolving journey, we have linked all the ways you can follow her and get in touch in the episode notes. And to stay up to date with the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Off the Tracks Podcast, and stay tuned for our next episode coming next Tuesday.
Thank you again to our partner, Lawbroker, legal's first customer experience platform powered by lawyers. To learn more, visit lawbroker.com and see how you can join the movement to become a modern lawyer.